that they have.
No, we're going to be in the 70s.
You see what I found? It's a damn
yeah.
Okay, I'm calling together the August 12th, 2013 Planning Commission meeting. This is a public hearing, and like I reiterated a while ago, if you haven't signed up, do so now or it'll be too late. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, now would you please explain the meeting procedures?
Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all the cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-up sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting, and 1 week from tonight at that time, the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken at that time unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your respective case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, now I guess on to the Taney County Fire Protection District. Normally we'd have the applicant come up and address the people, but nobody signed up to speak, so I don't know if we need the applicant up here or not. Just we'll come on up and explain real briefly what's going on. Nobody signed up to talk about it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to give the staff report really quickly here? This is case number 2013-13A. The project is the Western Taney County Fire Protection District Station 9 duplex. The applicant is the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the representative is James Single. And the property in question is here. The property is located at 142 Briggs Road, Branson, Missouri, in the Jasper Township, Section 9, Township 24, Range 21. The applicant, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, is seeking the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing a duplex land use, which would be attached and utilized in conjunction with the existing fire station number 9. The subject property is a meets and bounds described parcel property containing approximately 2.7 acres, according to the assessor's information. The property currently contains the Western Taney County Fire Protection District Station 9, which is served by an individual well and septic system due to the unavailability of public or central sewer. And this is the applicant, again, is seeking to construct a duplex, which would be attached to the existing fire station on the approximately 2.7-acre lot. On June 19th of this year, the Board of Adjustment approved a variance request by the fire district, allowing basically for the duplex to be constructed on the 2.7-acre tract. The current application was approved for concept on July 15th of this year. And in the general description on this, the proposed duplex, which each duplex would be three bedrooms, will be attached to the existing fire station and provide housing for two firefighters and their families. And we've got just a north, south, east, and west view. And in review, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District is seeking to attract two firefighting families to Fire Station 9, which currently operates via a single volunteer firefighter. The applicant has indicated that the on-site attached living quarters with full-time on-site firefighters would be a factor enabling the insurance rating to be lowered for the fire district, potentially lowering the cost of homeowners insurance for individual property owners residing within the jurisdiction of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. The property currently contains, again, Fire Station 9, which is served by an individual well and septic system. The current septic system will be required to be upgraded to serve the proposed duplex. An on-site or septic permit would be required via the on-site wastewater permitting division of the planning department. Per the provisions of Table J1, on-site parking performance standards, basically three parking spaces would be required for the duplex. There is an existing parking and driveway area in the front that's utilized primarily for the firefighting equipment, but the representative has indicated that a separate six-space parking lot will be constructed, exceeding the minimum requirements of the Development Guidance Code, either on the side or the rear of the proposed duplex. The adjoining property to the north is State Highway 176, light residential and also vacant property. The adjoining property to the south is primarily light residential, and the adjoining property to the east is vacant property, and the adjoining property to the west is light residential and vacant. The project received a score of 4 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 49. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of solid waste disposal service and utilities. And the staff recommendation on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, an on-site wastewater or septic permit shall be required for the wastewater treatment system upgrade via the on-site wastewater permitting division of the Planning Department. Third, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fourth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And sixth, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've put together just a really brief video here. Actually, this is one from behind. And to show the... And just did a quick 360 at the front of the property here. Thank you. And then just took one quick video back behind to really show kind of the area where the duplex would actually be located here.
Okay, well, that's pretty cut and dried what they want to do. Does the commission have any questions for Mr. Single?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
On your diagram there, and I was looking at the ones in my folder, and every one has got the lines marked, and the road is inclusive on the property. Is that road going back through there actually on the property?
He was out there trying to look for pins today. It may be, Bridge Road may be on the property. I'm not sure if it is. We won't.
I understand that, but I mean, it's something that it's a loose thread hanging out there. If we need to give before we do anything else further on this, they need to have their deeded access or something through there.
Yeah, I'll check into that. I'm not sure what, when they
bought
all that property.
I mean, I don't think it's a crucial matter or anything like that.
Yeah, what easements or anything were given or anything. I'd have to go back and look and check on that.
It seems to me like it not now, but it could further on down the road.
Oh, yeah.
It could possibly be an issue.
We put a toll gate up.
The placement of the duplex could interfere with the roadies.
The duplex should go up that right side.
You can't get your, if you have a road easement through there,
especially if
and
it's
that's
like
a county road,
easement.
You got to have a 50-foot easement through there, and then you got to have your setbacks on your duplex. It may not all match.
Yeah, we'll look those pins down and find out where that road is. Our maintenance guy's out there today trying to confirm the pins and everything else. I'm
not trying to be picky, but you don't want to approve something that's going to come back to haunt us later on. And I guess the other thing that I have, and I think the people that are going to be living there are going to be volunteer firefighters, but they're going to have other employment, so they're not necessarily going to be there.
They will have other employment. They won't be there 24 hours a day.
I mean, I understand your problem out there, but I guess it would help at certain times of the day, but they're still going to be working and they're going to be gone at certain times. And I guess the only real problem I would have if it was rented out to somebody and they weren't with the department.
No, they won't be there. I mean, no.
Well, I'd like that written in the decision or record. And other than that,
I have nothing else.
Any other questions? Thank you. Okay. Staff report for Jack and Sally's Gunworks.
Okay, this is case number 2013-14. The project is Jack and Sally's Gunworks, and the applicant is Jason Smith. And a little hard to see, but the property is basically located right in there. And the location is 114 Shawn Road, Kirbyville, in the Swan Township, Section 21, Township 23, Range 20. The request, the applicant, Jason Smith, is seeking the approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to operate a firearms assembly, sales, and service business within an existing accessory building adjacent to his residence as a home occupation. The background on this, the applicant, again, Jason Smith, is seeking Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 special use permit for the assembly, sales, and service of a service of firearms within a workshop adjacent to his single-family residence as a home occupation, the applicant will be required to obtain a federal firearms license via the U.S. Department of Justice, basically via the ATF. The ATF will require local planning commission approval of the Division III special use permit prior to obtaining the federal firearms license. In the past, as part of this licensing process, the Springfield office of the ATF has contacted the planning department office in order to ensure that the applicant was in full compliance with local zoning regulations prior to the issuance of an FFL. The ATF licensing procedure requires an authorized signature by a chief law enforcement officer, which in this case would be the sheriff. The current application was approved for concept on July 15th, 2013. The property in question is known as Lot 40 of Phase 1 of Smoke Tree Hills and is approximately 6,000 square feet in size per the assessor's information. The property contains an existing single-family residence and an approximately 140-square-foot accessory building or workshop. In review, the applicant is seeking the approval of a Division III special use permit in order to operate a firearms assembly, sales, and service business within its existing workshop located within an existing approximately 140-square-foot accessory building as a home occupation. The applicant has indicated that this home occupation involves no outside employees. Per the provisions of the home occupation requirements of the Development Guidance Code, the applicant would be limited to a sign no larger than 2 foot by 4 foot. The applicant has indicated that the vast majority of his business will be conducted via the internet. The applicant has further indicated that the firearms assembly and sales business will be in compliance with the home occupation provisions of the Development Guidance Code that require that the home occupation not exceed one-third of the floor area of the living area of the dwelling, whether the home occupation is within the principal dwelling or, in this case, within an accessory building. The applicant has stated that the assembly process will take place in the existing accessory building. The applicant has indicated that no test firing of any firearms will be conducted on the property in question. During the concept hearing, the applicant indicated that both the firearms and and ammunition will be locked in a gun locker that is bolted down to the accessory building. The applicant further indicates that traffic will be limited to occasional client/customer traffic and deliveries of materials. Sales of firearms are to be made by appointment only. The applicant has indicated, again, that the majority of the business is conducted via the internet. Security lighting is currently in place, and the applicant has indicated that he will further secure the windows of the accessory building. This, again, is a home occupation application, which falls under the provisions of a special use permit. And per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, a special use permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the special use permit also cannot be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. The adjoining property immediately to the north is primarily vacant land, but with residential property being located further to the north. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Shawn Road and residential. The adjoining property immediately to both the east and west is a vacant lot with residential properties being located further to both the east and west. The project received a total score of -7 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 37. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, off-site nuisances, use compatibility, and utilities. The staff recommendations: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, the applicant shall provide a copy of the ATF federal firearms license to the planning department office prior to commencing business operations. The applicant shall also provide an ATF receipt of payment of the special occupational tax to the planning department office on an annual basis if that's required by the ATF. Third, signage for the Jack and Jill's Gun Works business shall be limited to a sign no larger than 2-foot by 4-foot unlighted nameplate. Fourth, absolutely no test firing of firearms shall be conducted by the applicant and or his clientele on the property in question, located at 114 Shawn Road, Kirbyville, Missouri. Fifth, the Jack and Sally's Gun Works application shall be viewed as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any other future land use change applications. Sixth, the windows within the accessory building shall be further secured with either metal bars or a metal cage. Seventh, all on-site sales shall occur between the hours of 10 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and from noon through 4 on Saturday and Sunday. Eight, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Nine, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've shot a brief video of the property in question. And this is the accessory building that contains the gun safe. And we've done a quick 360 here.
Mr. Smith, were you the one that came up with these hours of operation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you plan to stick with those hours, I guess?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I mean, being it on the internet and you're going to have people basically coming over as clients and not coming over there to shop, it seems like a lot of people don't get off work till 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Because I live in a neighborhood, there we'll have to make arrangements for them to either come and pick it up, you know, during the hours of operation through the week or on the weekend. I don't plan on extending those hours at all. I mean, I live in a subdivision, as you can see, and I want to keep traffic to a minimum and not disturb anybody else in the neighborhood or around me.
Commission questions, gentlemen? No questions? Okay, we'll let the public speak. If you just have a seat there, we might have you back up here. David White.
Good evening, gentlemen, ladies. I'm a resident of Smoketree Hill Subdivision. That's where the property that the applicant's home resides on. My wife was going to be here with me tonight, but we just got back from Oklahoma City. She has cancer, and she had to go through 44 radiation treatments, Monday through Friday, one treatment per day. Otherwise, she would be with me tonight or this evening. Unfortunately, she's not feeling well enough to come here. So she sent me, and of course, I wanted to come on my own to talk with y'all about this. When we returned home, I had a pile of mail about that tall And as I was going through the mail, I found a letter from you all, Planning and Zoning Commission. And I opened it and discovered that someone had made an application to you all to have a commercial business in the subdivision. I guess my first reaction, I was astounded. How could this possibly be happening? The reason, well, I should take you back a little bit further in time. My wife and I used to live on 1001 Canal Street in Branson. We lost that home to a flood. And due to that fact, after we had to have the house torn down, we needed to find a new home. My wife is a part-time or full-time realtor, depending on how she's feeling. And she found us a home in Smoketree Hills, a residential community with a covenant. And it looked like the ideal situation. I could go fishing in Bull Shoals and Lake Taney Como, and she could get to her office over it. Used to be Carol Jones, but anyway, they've had a name. CJR is what it is now. At any rate, we'd found our home. Okay. And I'm retired from the Department of Mental Health. I was a social worker. Plus, I have a master's degree in business administration, which allowed me to teach at William Woods University in Fulton, Missouri. So I'm very familiar with the business model. However, let me get back to the purpose of my being here. I brought a copy of the covenant that was provided to us when we purchased our property, which I'll be glad to let you all have to make a copy of if you'd like. And I'll go to section 11 in the covenant. Which I think directly addresses part of the situation that we have here tonight. Section 11. Underlined, no home occupation. Homes shall be used solely as private residences, and no professional business or commercial use shall be made of the same or any portion thereof. Comma. I can go further if you'd like, but that's the most important statement I can make to you right now. No professional business or commercial use shall be made of the same on any portion thereof. You can understand my feeling of being astounded when I read your letter, because this totally contradicts this meeting, what the covenant stated. Also, in section 18, underlined, detached structures. A detached structure, a detached permanent structure, may be erected for the use of storage, playhouse, small animal shelter, as long as it's constructed of like material and color of the relative house and does not exceed, etc., etc., etc. Any attached structure is not to be used as a gun shed. Okay. Basically, that's my first point I want to make to you all. I hope you're hearing me loud and clear. This is a residential community. It's an asset to Taney County. It exemplifies what Taney County can become if not contaminated and corrupted by a breakage of this covenant. But this is more on a personal level. Before we went to Oklahoma, I believe it started about 8 months ago. We've lived in the neighborhood for about 2 years now. I live on 203 Eric Drive, which is the next street north. Well, I would say, it seems to me like it would be east. If you can see, the applicant lives on Sean, I believe is what you said.
Yeah.
If you can see Eric Drive right there, there you go. I'm down towards more the bottom of the hill. Now, behind my property is forest. And there is a road that's been built into that forest. I assume the developer at some time planned to develop that territory with homes. Okay. So it's basically unincorporated land. About 8 months ago, I started hearing gunfire. Not just a little gunfire. Gunfire episodes that would go on for hours. I'm a veteran of the Vietnam War. I've carried a hunting license all my life. I'm very well aware that the Conservation Department provides adequate facilities for the citizens to use their firearms in a safe manner. The one thing that really struck a red flag for me was when the applicant's information was on the board here, is this matter of test firing. Granted, there will be no test firing on the particular property that he's talking about, the home. My concern is test firing away from the home, within proximity of the subdivision. I discovered today that our homeowners association is leaderless. The gentleman who used to be the president no longer is there any longer. After attending the last homeowners meeting, I'm not surprised. But I do want to make sure that you all are aware that that individual, for whatever reason, disclosed during that meeting that he had purchased, that he had made a gun transaction with someone. I don't know who it was. But they had gone back into that same area that I've just described to you to test fire the gun. That may have been one of the gunshots that I heard. So I'm just saying, just from a public safety standpoint, I'm asking you to deny the request.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Non-leaf. Donna, if he already covered some of the points you were going to make, he might be able to shorten it.
Well, I'm just going to say that he said about everything that could be said, and I come here tonight with an open mind. I haven't formed an opinion of any kind, and I've been around Smoke Tree Hills about as long as anybody. Not there might be a few people there longer than me, and I've seen a lot of things come and go. In fact, these people that are here tonight are all strangers to me, with the exception of Randy and a couple of them here. When I used to come to the up here to meetings on the road for the road department, it was all different people. And we always got along good, though. But as far as guns are concerned, I used to have an FFL myself out of my home. And I never once test fired a gun. If somebody wanted to test fire it, they took it out on their own. That was theirs. Once they bought it, it was theirs. They could do with it whatever they want to. But I know it's different now. I say there's more guns in southwest Missouri than there is in Afghanistan. There's a lot of guns in this country, and people enjoy guns. They enjoy hunting. And I did too for a lot of years, but I quit. And whatever happens to this young man here, it's up to you guys, and I hope you make a good decision. Thank you.
Ray Hoskins.
I think anything that I wanted to say has been said.
Thank you. James. I can't read the line there. James.
James. Pretty much everything's been covered.
Okay. Does the commission have any questions for Mr. Smith, the applicant?
Has there been guns fired there behind your house before?
The gunfire that I believe that he is speaking about would be the plumbers, which is south of our property, I believe. That big open field at the bottom of the page. I hear it all the time. I've never fired a gun. I've never sold the gun since I've lived at that house. I've never fired anything. And actually, if anybody did fire anything behind my house, I'd be pretty upset. I have four little girls, and you could see for a brief second in the picture when the video was going of the kids' treehouse, which is located just to the east of the work shed. So I'd be pretty upset if anybody was firing behind my house. It's absolutely unsafe to, I mean, even though it is a wooded area, I mean, there's houses in every direction, so I mean, it wouldn't be hard for a bullet to stray and hit somebody's house. And kids play back there, not my kids, but there's several kids in the neighborhood that do play and have forts in that wooded area directly behind my house. So there absolutely would not be any test firing in the neighborhood whatsoever. Like Don said, I would sell the gun and the test firing would be on them. As far as the covenant, I did not know the HOA was leaderless now. That's why I can't get a hold of the president. But I did get a hold of the vice president, and he said he did not, the HOA did not have any problems at all with the type of business that I was doing, that I was in the outbuilding, that they didn't have any issues with it at all. I can get a letter for you guys before the approval if you'd like.
It'd probably be nice to have that before the vote.
Do I understand that the planning and zoning will rule over the HOA covenant?
Basically, our department cannot enforce private covenants and restrictions.
That's all civil.
I do have to have the letter for the HOA, I'm sure, before the ATF will approve the license. And the ATF will inspect the property, of course, and the gun storage and all of that prior to issuing the license.
Okay, any other questions? Nope. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Like Bob said, we'll vote on this next Monday night. No extra comment will be allowed at that time, so... Okay, I guess that takes care of the immediate business. Have we got any old or new business, Bob?
Got one more.
Yeah, one more.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, I see it now. Country Ridge. There we go.
This is case number 2013-15. The project is Country Ridge Business Park. The applicants are Dennis and Sandra Rogers. And here's the property in question. The property is located at 1280 East State Highway 76, Branson, Missouri. It's in the Branson Township, Section 34, Township 23, Range 21. The applicants, Dennis and Sandra Rogers, are seeking the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Country Ridge Business Park. The proposed Country Ridge Business Park will consist of a single two-story commercial building, which would house a number of commercial, office, and storage uses. The applicants have indicated that the commercial building will contain a total of 13 units, 7 units on the street level, and 6 units on the lower level. This is a copy of the street level floor plan, also showing the parking as well. And we've got a copy in here of the lower level floor plan. I've put a couple of copies out for you on the table there as well. The background on this, the subject property is Lot 3A of the Mabel subdivision, containing approximately 3.1 acres. The property had previously been a service station beginning in 1939, according to the assessor's information. The applicants have now removed the service station building and a number of other dilapidated structures on the property. On July 3rd of this year, the planning department staff approved the replat of part of lots 2 and 3 of the Mabel subdivision, in which the approximately 5.1 acre lot, acre lot 3, was subdivided into the 3.1 acre lot that's in question, and also a 2 acre lot. The applicants are now seeking this Division 3 approval on Lot 3A, and Lot 3B contains an existing residence that's addressed off of 304 Songbird Drive. The current application was approved for concept on July 15th of this year. The general description of this, the Country Ridge Business Park, again, will consist of a single, approximately 17,812 square foot, two-story office slash commercial building on the approximately 3.1 acre lot. The applicants have indicated that the business park will be home to such uses as an embroidery company, screen printing business, and also two local property management companies. And this is a view of the proposed building from the street level off of 76. The building will contain a street level and a lower level. Each level would be approximately 8,000 square feet in size. The street level would contain 7 commercial units, and the lower level would contain 6, for a total of 13 commercial office units within the business park. The street level will contain 4 large office commercial areas, as well as 3 smaller office areas that would cater predominantly to professional office uses. The applicants have stated that the lower level will be utilized primarily by two property management companies for storage space. The applicants have indicated that businesses will have the ability to either lease a space on a single level or on both levels. And again, here's the street level floor plan, and then also the a lower level floor plan as well. Lot 3A of the Mabel subdivision currently contains an existing Taney County Regional Sewer District gravity main, allowing the proposed Country Ridge Business Park to be served by public sewer. And here's the location of the main itself, and of course here's the property line. The applicants will be required to obtain a permit from the Taney County Regional Sewer District for connection to this existing sewer main. The applicants are also in the process of working with the Taney County Public Water Supply District Number 2, which will supply public water to the proposed business park. The applicants will be required to obtain a permit from the Taney County Public Water District for connection to public water. The applicants are proposing a parking area both in the front and in the rear of the proposed structure. The street level parking area in the front will be dedicated primarily to customer parking, with the lower level parking area in the rear providing parking primarily for employees. Per the provisions of the on-site parking performance standards, where mixed uses occur, parking space requirements should be determined on a proportional basis. The applicants have indicated that the lower level will initially be utilized by two property management companies at this time, primarily for storage. Therefore, the staff's recommending that the parking requirements for industrial uses be utilized for the lower level. This standard would basically just require one space for every employee, spaces for all company-owned vehicles, and then adequate space for salesmen, visitors, etc. Therefore, the lower level parking requirements would be contingent upon the number of employees being served. The street level is proposed to be divided between professional office space and general merchandise uses. the professional office space would require one space for every 300 square foot of space, and the applicants are proposing approximately 1,500 square feet of professional office space, thereby requiring five spaces to be devoted to the professional offices. The remainder of the street level would be devoted primarily to general merchandise, requiring one space for every 400 square feet. Therefore, the remainder of the street level would require approximately 19 spaces. The site plans indicated a total of about 53 parking spaces, including a number of handicap parking spaces. It appears that the 53 spaces will be adequate at this time, so long as the lower level continues to be utilized primarily for storage. However, if the lower level is utilized in the future, for additional uses, additional parking may be required. The applicants have cleared an area of just under 1 acre, but have intentionally preserved an area along the eastern property boundary to act as buffering between themselves and the adjoining residents over on this side. The staff is proposing that the applicants construct a privacy fence between the business park and the existing single-family residence on the west side. The adjoining property immediately to the north is State Highway 76, a combination of commercial and residential. The adjoining property to the south is primarily light residential. The adjoining property to the east and west is really a combination of residential and commercial uses. The project received a total score of 6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 67. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, utilities, and traffic. If the staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. First, sediment and erosion control. B, stormwater management. C, land disturbance permit, just if there were any disturbances over 1 acre. D, utility easements and building line setbacks. E, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking and utilities. F, a complete landscape and buffering plan showing the location, size, and planning material for all buffer yards, both adjacent to public rights-of-way and residential property. And G, a lighting plan showing the location, height, and other specifications on the lighting to be provided for the development. Second, compliance letters from the Taney County Regional Sewer District, the Taney County Public Water Supply District 2, and the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Transportation shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, a 25-foot wide vegetative buffer shall continue to be maintained between the County Ridge Business Park and the adjoining single-family residence to the east. An opaque or privacy fence shall be erected between the County Ridge Business Park and the existing single-family residence to the west. Four, no restaurant uses shall be allowed without the provision of a permitted grease trap. Five, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Six, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Seven, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Eight, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Taney County Planning Department office. Nine, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video of the property. And we did just a quick 360 here.
Bob, is that the, would you swing back here just a moment the other way? Is that the house or?
Is that to the west?
The one on the west side there.
That's the one on the west.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to provide a fence.
Well, yeah.
We can address that here in a second if you want to comment now.
No.
Or either way, it's fine. And then that's the, this is the buffering on the other side, so.
Okay. Okay, Dennis, now you can come up and talk to us. Both of you, if you'd like.
Leave that picture up. I'll
okay.
Say a few things. As you can see, this blue line, this is address 1234. As you can see, this blue line is maybe 10 to 15 feet from this house. When we cleared the property, I spoke to this man here, and he's got raccoons living here. He's been mowing right all the way up into here. And we told him we would leave this pretty much undisturbed so that he could get, he's an older gentleman, and we told him we would not disturb what's our property, but he's been using like his yard. If you wanted a fence on the property line, it would actually basically almost come right through the side of his yard, which we'll do if that's what you require or you insist. Or we could plan on possibly putting the fence if the man here decides to sell his house and then we clear the rest of this. But whatever you would like. If you want us to put in the paper that if the neighbor wants the privacy fence, we will put it up or however. But right now, we've left that wooded area that you saw in the bigger picture when you did the video, kind of like left a big buffer. Now, all that wooded area that we left is actually on our property.
And it's going to stay?
We promised the neighbor that we were going to leave it that way. And however you want to word it, we'll stand behind. The building is going to start way over here. We have no need to be over where this wooded area is. We basically want to keep a country look anyway, so we really don't want to go here. Now, on this side here, we pretty much follow the existing fence line. And I think that's where you said on the east side is where you wanted another privacy fence. So that won't be a problem there.
There's on there, wasn't it?
There's a fence on that side, but
it's like a chain link fence or country type fence. There is a fence that runs along here.
Will that buffer zone stay on that end too, on the east end?
On this side here?
Yeah.
There's nothing. Yeah, the building's going to be way over here. And I think we have a setback before we can actually have the driveway that's going to go around the back. The driveway will come in and go around this side. There will be no driveway coming down this side. This area, once you get past the first acre, it pretty much drops off into a ravine. We have no desire to ever develop that, and that's where the sewer runs through. Behind the building, the way it lays out, right now we're talking parking spaces along the building there, but there would be enough room if we had to add more parking space, you know, along the other edge.
Would you object to adding the parking, go ahead and do, put the parking spots in now?
Would we object to that?
Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is we can, you know, we know what we've got to deal with now, but if the storage turns into commercial usage and there's a lot more people there, will the 53 seats or spots
well, the
be
type
sufficient?
Let me tell you the type of storage we're talking about, so it's clear. One of them is a company that we also own called Anytime Maintenance, and it will be where they'll store sheetrock.
As long as you own it?
As long as I own it.
Yeah.
And the other one is Just Properties, which owns, those are home maintenance, which that would be another unit. That's what's going to, we're calling it storage, but they're not really businesses to the public. They're services, they're service businesses.
Right.
Like a
at this point, but I'm looking down the road at the cell, and we don't have, it'd be hard to keep track of if
right.
we had more.
Right, all of a sudden we start renting it out to
yeah.
a real estate company or right. a timeshare right. company.
By the time you provide access back there, you've almost established a parking area.
Yeah, and it's. I just want to know that it's big enough for any kind of usage.
It would depend on, it. By the parking requirements, it would depend somewhat on the use. If
but we don't have any control over the use well, once it's built.
He was yeah. way over on his parking anyway, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Will that be sufficient?
I mean, you had 19 and 5, 50, I believe.
No,
yeah, 53 was 53, what 53, was shown.
53 altogether, yeah. what he proposed, but what would be required for that?
If it was all
seems like you said 5 and 19, yeah.
If I remember right.
Now, there's less units thing. Below than there is above.
Right.
Yeah. What was the total square footage again?
8,900
square feet each level.
Is that area that we were planning to blacktop in the back, is that wide enough to put spots on both sides?
Yeah, actually it is. We only put them on the one end, but just because I figured, you know, 28 spots back there would be enough.
It really
well, it probably is.
It really would be adequate,
yeah,
even
is.
If it was. Yeah, it actually would be.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be, but I wanted to bring that up because once you're done here, we
yeah.
really have no way to police it, you know, and so.
Right.
I'd like to see it done right to start with.
Well, and we don't want cars piling on top of each other.
Yeah.
Right.
In, and then they have to turn around and come back out.
Right.
So. It actually would yeah. meet the requirements.
Okay. So we're okay anyway. It's just the way it was kind of worded. I didn't want to be confused.
Site plan.
Well, and at first, I thought we were looking at a little bit larger structure, too.
Right.
There was we've kind of
we revised it down from when we met here last month.
Yeah, the site plan's been revised somewhat, and so when I was first looking at it, I was really kind of questioning that myself.
The original plan was going to cost us closer to $1 million, and we looked in our wallet and found out that maybe we couldn't go that far.
Right. The other thing is the buffer on the west side near the home.
Right. With
how wide is that wooded area now? I couldn't tell by the pictures.
From the actual boundary line of our property.
Yes.
To where we've got it cleared is 20 feet, and it's still covered with trees and everything else. I told them not to take that out, just simply because I didn't want to be in his yard.
Right. And so. Are you going to flatten that off all the way back there, or how is that going to be tapered down? I mean, is the man going to be looking at a big hill?
No, what it is right now, exactly like it is, from where his house is going to sit here, which is down, his house is down here,
right.
And we're just going to go straight back to where we're at.
That's what I'm saying. How
yeah.
far straight back is that?
Well
we have to be 50 feet from
the road,
the road and
now,
then our building is 60 feet back. So
and
he'll actually be looking at it. Probably our 50-foot mark is right here. Right where this
mm-hmm.
building is, so if
yep.
you're going back about 60 foot, so he's just going to see this part right here.
Right now, there's an existing retaining wall that runs in front of the old structure that used to be here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to get our setback, a new retaining wall will be built about 15 feet
behind that.
South.
Behind that. Yeah.
And then that will be leveled up to here, and then the lower level. We're not really the only thing that's. We're not going to change. We're not going to be building everything up.
Right.
We're just coming straight out off the street.
With the first door.
Hopefully, if MoDOT will allow us, because right now when you come off the road, it's a pretty bad dip. And I know they're going to want some type of a dip for rain water coming off, but we're hoping we can bring it up and make it a little bit of a smoother transition, because right now you have to kind of gun it to get off the old parking.
Yeah.
At one time, it was level.
He is down. I mean, if you look at the property when he was doing that, his is quite a ways down
yeah.
from where ours is. And if we come straight back, it's going to stay almost the same as what it was to begin with where he was looking at those buildings. Of course, they're going to be set back farther, so he's not actually going to see them because we're going to be back almost even with where his house starts.
As a matter of fact, somebody advised us, so we kind of need to take our survey over to him and have him initial it, because right now, like I said, he's been mowing and landscaping and he's in our property.
Right.
somebody said if you
don't, it looks like he's encroaching.
You don't make it really clear that that's your property. Somewhere down the road, he could sell that off and claim, well, we basically homesteaded that section.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if I understand you correctly, he does not want a fence.
The existing neighbor. Well, I don't know. We did not ask him if he wanted a fence. Right. He was concerned. He's in a family of raccoons living in the trees there. And we said, we don't need to go that far. We'll leave those trees in there. So we just left it for his own personal privacy. But.
And I figured once we have this built, because there's a driveway part here that we put like crepe myrtles or something as their bushes on that side, that would pretty much make it a solid wall there, but not be, and actually that way he could still have his privacy.
He's a retired pastor. He's living here maybe about 8 or 10 years. And I would just assume leave the yard to his liking for as long as he's still alive. And, you know, if you guys say you need to put a fence up there, the fence will actually cut right through unless we decide to put the fence on our property, which wouldn't make any sense at all.
But we can.
So I don't know if there's a way that could be written that a fence would be.
How would we handle that, Bob? Would affidavit from the landowner say he doesn't want a fence? Or?
Well, we don't really need a fence if we've got the setback end of trees.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It kind of leaves it somewhat more to the discretion of the Planning Commission as far as whether it's a landscape buffer or a fence or a wall or berm. So there is quite a bit more discretion now.
Yeah, and the way you did the video, when you came around, there was that heavy line of trees, and then there was the more open, that was actually some scrubby stuff, and then we took out what was going to be used for parking and then left the rest of the scrub there. The building sets back far enough that it's almost where that solid wall of trees is, but because we have to go back the 15 feet, which is way past from where you are, because you were almost up to the... You were right at the electrical pole, which is right on our side of the property with the easement. So,
yeah, site plan.
That's quite a difference.
Yeah, I have a site plan showing.
Randy, have you been out there to this property?
Just been a drill by it. I haven't been on it. But
I was there today.
What about the water runoff? If we build it all the way within 20 feet of the property line, how far from the property line of that man's house are we talking about?
His house, I'm not sure. From our property line, we've got like 20 to 25 feet before you get to that line where the blacktop starts, which is that furthest line. There's like 25 feet to the end, and then he's another 15 feet beyond that. The way the property rolls off, though, that's going to be level with the building, so there's not going to be any runoff down that way, because when I talked to the MoDOT, I told him, I said, it needs to come and go around the building. Mm-hmm. We don't have any way for it to go down that way without flooding him.
Right. Now, that was another of my concern. Yeah.
So.
We need to have that as a concern.
Yeah.
We don't want the runoff to go in his house. He sits a lot lower, and if he got torrential rains with it nowhere to go, he would be flooded out. And I'm not willing to take that chance.
They're going to have that same concern on the east side. Aren't you going to have a road going down?
We've got a 15-foot buffer that has no blacktop or no road. So it would hit the property and roll back like it always has for however long it's been. But the way we're trying to do it is make sure that it runs off the back, sort of goes down into the gully, which is what nature intended for it to do, which is why the gully's there. So.
This house also to the east does not sit down in a hole like that.
No, it's higher. Actually higher up than ours.
The house on the west is the only concern I have. And if we asphalt all that and we don't make sure it runs off in the back, and down the gully, it's going to run right on that man's house.
Right now, this is where our buffer is all the way into these trees. And then the building would, and then the parking lot would start over here, with the building about here, and going to about this location here. And then the driveway would be over here, which would have the grass buffer over here, the 15 or whatever.
There's 15 feet.
15 feet here.
And if we make, with that, there's actually more than that. That was the original.
Over here, there's probably at least 20 feet, and then there's this house here. But our goal would be to have the driveway designed so the water would actually come around this way and head towards the creek.
Do you have a site plan on this that shows where your structure is going to be in relationship to your property lines yet, like you'll have to have when you get your building permit?
No, not yet. I can't do an overlay, or I would have just overlaid it right over top of that, but I'm not that crafty.
That would help us tremendously if we had the site plan.
So the way those buildings lay, they are actually behind what's the retaining wall, and we have to go back 15 feet beyond that to hit the 50 feet to the beginning of the building. So that kind of gives you an idea of how far back it's going to be. And by the end of the building to the end of where the cleared off spot is, there's about 60 feet. So.
And MoDOT, I'm sure, is going to require a drainage plan for their road and where it's going to go.
Because that whole side, there's no gullies, there's nothing. Everything is just downhill it goes, because they want it off the road and go downhill. So.
Yeah, well, we require that too.
Right. Yeah. So, and we don't want it to flood the guy next door because he's lower than us. There's the big gully that's in the back part of the property, which is where everything drains to. It's just a wet stream.
I know we have
so, one. And that's what we're heading towards. The people on the east side are actually higher than we are. So the biggest concern would be the guy on the east. And yeah, we've already thought about the fact that we don't want any of the water runoff to go that way.
Right. But we can provide you with what you're asking at the next meeting.
That's next week.
get busy.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to have that before you get a building permit anyway.
Right. We will. Contractor's still doing the levels and the whole thing, so.
Well, he's probably got enough now that he can stake the building out, and that's what you need to do and take your measurements from that.
Right now we've been working on a lot of estimates to see how much money we got to dig out of our pocket.
Yeah. Okay, any more questions?
We're not going to open up a gun shack to that factory either.
We got a nice place to fire guns back here at our ravine. All right, thank you.
Thanks. Thank
you. Now, Bob, do we have any kids? I didn't see that last time.
I don't have any items.
Bob, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I read that one different you did. You read it, Jack and Jill, and it was...
Oh.
If the gun shark thing doesn't fly and he's looking for some office space,
there you go.
I knew I heard some snickers, but it didn't register.
Yeah, I picked up on that pretty quick. Yeah,
I was waiting for him to go down the hill.
I couldn't look at you.
Look at
this.
I look over it, I'm about to start laughing.
I didn't even register.
Discussing this, we ought to start putting in, like looking at this site plan that they just said there. And if they have a fence, it ought to be that 154 feet before the property turns.
Yeah.
I mean, we never have indicators.
If we require that, that's what it has to be.
I mean, it's either have indicators of distance-wise on those fences. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Meeting adjourned.